activity to make sure Daniel became the second in charge. He found a way in Egyptian captivity to make sure that Joseph was the second man in charge. I wish I had somebody in the house. So while we're worried about Trump and while we're worried about the Senate, we need to call for Mordecai. We need to call for Nehemiah. We need to pray God will send us somebody that's like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need to pray that God will send somebody who's like King Darius or Cyrus. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I'm going to start praying instead of complaining, because I know the Lord can make a way for us through this. Somebody shout hallelujah. But then he tells us this. He said we need to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. But when I looked at that, I said they're already praising him. But God said, I want a specific praise. I want you to tell me thank you. My mama always told me, if somebody do something for you that they ain't have to do, the least you can do is say. And so you need to learn how to give God thanksgiving. The Bible tells us with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You have to understand something. Thanksgiving ain't always easy, because you got to thank him sometimes when things ain't going your way. Thanksgiving is not easy, because they can lie on you. But can you tell the Lord thank you? I wish I had some people in the house. They can talk about you. Say thank you. You can be sick in your body, but can you wave your hand and say, Lord, I want to thank you. Somebody shout glory in the house. Shout hallelujah. Anybody want to thank the Lord? Well, you got a lot to thank him for. Why am I thanking him? Because in my distress, I called on the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Do I have anybody that say, I thank the Lord, because the Lord is my light and my salvation? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? I thank the Lord, because when my enemies...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. you will find these words recorded. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to talk about there's more in you than meets the eye. There's more in you than meets the eye. Help me preach this morning. Turn to a neighbor and say, neighbor, there's more in you than meets the eye. You know, when people look at you, they may not see all there is in you. They may underestimate you. They may discount you. They may act as if you do not measure up. But there is more in you than meets the eye. And every now and then, you ought to just tell yourself, there's more in me than meets the eye. When you feel discouraged, you ought to say, there's more in me than meets the eye. When you're coming up against a giant, and you're like David, and you're going up against Goliath, you need to say, there's more in me than meets the eye. Because you need to know the greater one lives in you. My brothers and sisters, this is a short word today, but I pray that God will confirm some things in you, that God will speak into your life, that he will reveal and make known some things that you've had a hunch and an unction about, but he's going to confirm it today. And there are some things you need to know that you have the ability to do, to have, and to become because of the power of the greater one who lives on the inside of you. Now, my brothers and sisters, Jesus came to be not only the propitiation for our sins, not only to be the Savior of our souls, but he came to be the Lord of our lives. When we talk about the Calvary experience and how wonderful all of the message of the cross and all of the message of the blood and the message of his sacrifices are, you will have to note that it wasn't just to save you and that be all. He didn't come to ransom his life for your life just to save you and then you walk around defeated. He didn't give himself, come down through 42 generations in the fullness of time to be here at the time that God ordained for him to be here, to be the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, so that you can simply be saved and die and go to heaven. But he gave you power to be representatives of him in the earth realm. He gave you power so that you can duplicate what he's done. Greater things than these, he says, shall ye do. Why? Because I go back to my Father. Now, that means he has said that he would leave us a comforter, another comforter. That comforter is the Holy Ghost. Now listen at this, because the only way you can get the Holy Ghost is to have Jesus Christ. He has to be the first in your life for the Holy Ghost to come and reside in you. So make no mistakes about it. No man coming to the Father but by him. So once Jesus is there, and this is what I thank God for, because a whole lot of us in the Christian world have been saved and not yet empowered to live this life with authority. And so we kind of take it as it comes, any way the wind blows. We kind of take it however life throws it out to us. But I've got news for you. You've got power underneath the skin that can change the game. You don't have to be the one who accepts all that's dumped on you and thrown on you. You don't always have to be the victim. You don't always have to be the loser. You don't always have to come in last. You don't always have to be at the bottom. You've got to know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's look at the verse, if you don't mind. Show you a few things in this verse. First of all, if you go back to verse 1, you know, it's dealing with understanding how to discern the Spirit. And you've had a lot of folks say, well, you got to try the Spirit by the Spirit. And I've shared with you before, if your spirit is wrong and that spirit you're trying is wrong, y'all will agree. Oh, you will agree. Why? Because you've got two wrong spirits. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Which means their spirit must be akin. So you're never going to have a right spirit and a wrong spirit agreeing on stuff because they are diametrically opposite. But if both spirits are right, they will agree. If both spirits are wrong, they will agree. But not when they differ. So you have to try the Spirit to see whether it be of God. How do you do that? By the Word. You see, that's how you don't have to judge anything. All you have to do is inspect it. We're not called to be judges. We're called to be inspectors. You say God said it, let me line it up against the Word. If it lines up against the Word, God said it. God's in it. God approves it. But when you say something and I can't find it in the Word, then it is not God approved and I don't have to buy it. See, a whole lot of us mess up and get messed up behind folk who sound holy, who's got that religious jargon all down. It flows out of their mouth like running waters, and yet it's all mess because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So he's talking about, listen at this, he's talking about false spirits. He's talking about, all this is in verse 1 through 3. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about frustrations, about fears, and about failures. He says, verse 4, ye are of God. And then he uses this endearing term, little children. He uses a term that's precious to him because he's an old man and he is full of God's wisdom and his love for the people of God, and he embraces them as little children. But it also means something else. It means those who are naive. It means those who are not matured. He says, little children. He wasn't talking about babies or adolescents. He was talking about those who were immature in the spirit realm. But he says, ye are of God, little children. First thing I want you to note down, one, he's declaring as a believer, you are the people of God. You're the people of God. You have so many privileges as the people of God. You have so much that God has ordained and that God has placed in the earth realm for his people. Because of his love for his people. There are so many things that God does and God wants to do for his people. That's why God makes clear in his word, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. What will you do, God? Forgive their sins and heal their land. See, as a part of the body of Christ, as a believer, as the people of God, God wants to get you right underneath the skin by forgiving all of your sins, trespasses, all of those things that separate you from God so that he can draw you closer. And listen at this. When he heals your land, do you know what that means? He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. He wants to favor you. Now, that's one of the privileges of being the people of God. Ye are of God, little children. Do you know who you are? More importantly, do you know whose you are? Man, you around here whining and crying and being fickle and funny, acting all crazy when you don't realize whose you are. You whining and crying when your father owns everything. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And you around here whining about a little this or a little that. When the cattle on 1,000 hills are his, the silver and the gold are his, everything that you have desire belongs to him. Do you realize that? Man, it'll change how you think when you start realizing, wait a minute, my father is rich in houses and land. Why am I living in a hut? Why am I scraping pennies? He's got everything I need. Ye are of God. Now, that's not only that, but there's something else the Bible reveals. And have overcome them. So since we are of God, we are also of his power. The word and the conjunction there joins the fact that we are his people. If we are his people, we have his power. Amen. His power. And have overcome them. Amen. Do you know you got to have power to overcome? Amen. I said, do you know you have to have power to overcome? Amen. Listen, when you begin to understand that it takes power to overcome the enemy on his own playing turf, you got to be greater than him to win on his court. This world is leased out to the enemy. He's the prince of this air. If we belong to God, we no longer belong to Satan, and therefore Satan does not have the power to control us. So that means he can't make us do what he wants us to do. We do what God tells us to do because God redeemed us. Since he redeemed us, he's given us power to be able to trap, to trek over, to step over, to step on, to make the enemy's power of non-effect on us. He's given us power to be able to counter everything the enemy does. And you're running around here acting like you don't have any power. You're defeated in every turn. You're always coming up short. You're never the first in line. Always somebody come in and jump in before you, and you don't say nothing about it. It always appears as if that somebody comes in before you when it was your time and your turn. But God has given us power to overcome them. Now listen, when you look up this word overcome, it's important because what it literally means is you have the power to conquer, to overcome, to prevail, to subdue, and to win the victory. All of these words come from the one Greek word. Why is that important? Because to overcome sometimes means you've got to conquer a situation. To overcome sometimes means just that. You've got to come over. You ought to get tired of coming under. You standing up, you're standing tall, you're going over that situation. Not going to be stopped, moved, or hindered by that situation. You are coming over it. Then sometime it means you've got to prevail. You have got to press your way. You have got to decide, I'm not giving up, I'm not giving in, I'm not letting go. I'm going to win this thing. You prevail. And then sometimes you just got to take the enemy down. Boom. Subdue him down. Bring him down. Say, if anybody's going down, another one bites the dust, and it ain't going to be me. Sometime you got to put the devil on his back, put the devil on the run. You've got to subdue him. And then lastly, you win the victory. You win the victory. That's what power does for you. Give you the ability to win the victory in the end. And isn't that what it's all about? Yeah, you've got to go through some things, but it's all right if in the end you win. Yeah, you might have to cry sometime, but it's all right if in the end you win. Yeah, you might be broken up and thrown down, but it's all right if in the end you win. And look at what it says. So we have the fact that we are God's people, the verse reveals. We have God's power, the verse reveals. But thirdly, is more important than these as well, because it says, because what? Because greater what? Is who? Greater, because greater is he. Now, the he's talking about, just in case you're a new believer and don't understand, is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the greater one. Greater is he that is in you, residing in you, than he. Now, who is this he? Because you had two he's. This he is the Antichrist. This is Satan. So the Holy Ghost is greater than Satan. The Holy Ghost is greater than the Antichrist. The Holy Ghost is greater than Lucifer. The Holy Ghost is greater than Slewfoot. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? The Holy Ghost is the greater one. Now listen to that. So that means I have the fact of being God's people in my head and in my heart. I have God's power at my disposal. But I have God's presence living on the inside of me. That's greater than just being his people. That's greater than just having his power. To have his presence, the greater one, the one when God said, let there be, the greater one took what he said and made it so. That same one is living in me. The same greater one that God sent down to raise Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of me. In other words, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection, he was talking about the person. But listen at this, it was the Spirit of God, the power that raised him up, that he sent back to live in us. Now I walk with the resurrection power in me. I talk with the resurrection power in me. I live with the resurrection power in me. Everything I do, I've got resurrection power on the inside. And R.W. Shambach used to say all the time, if your problem isn't greater than the resurrection, you ain't got no problem. Why? Because the greater one, the Holy Ghost, the resurrection power lives in you. And if he could raise Jesus from the dead, my question is, what can't he do? Is anything too hard for the Lord? If the Holy Ghost is living on the inside of you, greater is he. Tell somebody, if you don't mind, there's more inside of me than meets the eye. Tell them, there's more inside of you than meets the eye. If you are a believer, if you are a believer, if you are a believer, give him praise in the house. And one more thing I want to tell you, and then I'm going to close. To understand this greater one living on the inside of you is to understand that nothing outside of you has the ability to overpower you. Now, here is a fact you might not realize. If it does, it's because you let it. From this day forward, if the enemy wins anything in your life, it's because you let him win. I don't believe y'all got that. We are faced with pressures, problems, issues, and all sorts of structural differences in this world that press against us. But the Bible wants us to know that there is a greater one living on the inside of us. And we've got to be like a submarine. We've got to learn that a submarine is at its greatest height of design and purpose when it's underwater. Stay with me for just another minute or two. If you in your natural body were to dive into the sea, you could only go so far without special equipment on. You could only go so far without having some special tool or some special invention to keep your body from being crushed by the weight of the water the deeper you go. But submarines go thousands